I need to know what a pimp is.
I gotta know bread, Mamma Mia.
I don't know what a Dalmatian's chief skill is.
How'd you mind me now?
Hello, and welcome to How Do You Like Me Now, the podcast where we go back and relive the golden years of kids' TV. I'm Will. With me, as always, is Liz. Hello, Liz.
As always, I am Liz. With me, as always. Always here.
Always.
Here I am.
One of these days, it's going to be an episode where one of us is missing, and it'll but just throw off the intro entirely.
We're husband and wife. How could you possibly do this with someone else? I would feel like it was an affair if you did this with someone else.
Well, then I won't do it with anyone else.
Good. Am I allowed to do it with anyone else?
No, because it would also be like an affair.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you'd say yes. I'd be like, good, that's how our marriage works.
Look, we've each got a list of 5 celebrities we're allowed to do the podcast with
yeah.
If the opportunity arises.
Exactly. Would you like to name the 5?
No, I would not.
No. Got to keep some things private in a marriage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd like people to guess who the 5 are for each of us.
I've probably said mine. I don't think I keep anything private, do I?
No. Well, I think we've talked about things. I think people will. Some people out there will be thinking of characters from these things that we watched.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what we're talking about. 5, like, everyday celebrities.
Everyday celebrities.
Yeah, but if anyone's got a guess on those, get in touch. Tell us who you think they are, and maybe we'll talk about it.
I don't
again.
Even know who they are yet.
No, neither do I. No. But that's why I want people to try and write it.
Because obviously,
you
just made it up for a joke. But now, instead of what we're doing for the podcast, all I'm thinking about is who I want on my list. And I'm like, should they be purely people I want to have sex with, or should they have podcasting skills?
An interesting story to tell and bangability.
Those have always been my criteria.
Anyway, Liz, we're here to talk about another poll loser that we've watched for this week.
Another loser. I bet people are just loving this losers series. Series of things that they didn't want to have to listen to episodes for. Ratings are through the roof.
Well, I think this one, may have been one that people actually wanted to see.
Did we put this up against Postman Pat and say, do you know what, it's not worth doing both, they're too similar, we'll just do one?
I think it's exactly what we did do. And, you know, I think
we've gone
people
back on our word.
That we have, as we are wont to do, you know, that's our choice. It's what we're going to do. So, yeah, this did go up against Postman Pat. I think this was a close run thing, though, from memory.
Which was my choice and which was your choice?
Well, I think my choice was Fireman Sam, and I think yours was Postman Pat.
No, I don't think that.
Okay. Now, I think mine was Postman Pat and yours was Fireman Sam.
Now, why don't we know which we both chose? I mean, they're both solid shows. Look it up. Because I think I would have chosen Fireman Sam purely for the sex appeal.
Well, I mean, he's a man in a more...
No, not Sam's sex appeal. The sex appeal of the supporting cast.
Oh, okay.
Come on now.
Let's be honest, because there's not that much sex appeal in the world of Postman Pat.
No, really. Zero.
It's far
zero.
More pedestrian. Yeah, it's a lot more danger in your Fireman Sam.
Fireman Sam is pure sex. Pure sex. I'm sure I chose Fireman Sam and you chose Postman Pat because this is sexier and you know I like my kids' shows sexy.
I do know that. We all know that. If there's one thing you want from your kids' shows, it's sexiness.
Wrong.
But anyway, so this week we're watching Fireman Sam. Now,
why did you go into a kid's TV show voice?
I don't know.
This week, children, we're watching Fireman Sam. That's nice, isn't it?
That's right. He's waving. Look over there.
There he is on the screen. Isn't he lovely? Don't you want to bang him?
I was about to say, excellent kids presenter voice you have there.
You,
up until you said, don't you want to bang him?
Oh, this is why I didn't get that Blue Peter job. They wouldn't have me. No, I've never been. I've never tried. Clearly.
Well, I think television's loss is this podcast's gain.
Thank you. That's why you're my husband. You're the only person who believes in me.
Not true in the slightest. Liz, Fireman Sam, then.
Oh, sorry, are we skipping straight to the end? Have I got to give my verdict? No. Should we not bother?
I've not asked you a question at all. Liz, were you a Fireman Sam watcher as a kid?
I just think I must have been.
Must have been.
I don't have specific memories of it. I remember, I'll be honest, I remember some facial hair.
Some facial hair?
Yeah, yeah. There's the, not fat controller, but like the controller of the...
The station chief.
Station chief. He's got a lovely grey tash. I did remember that prior to the episode. And then there was... We'll come on to Fireman Sam's mate, who I didn't remember the name of, but I did remember he had mutton chops.
Yes.
So these were the characters I was interested in. I think it's one of those things that it was around, I was aware of it, I watched it. I don't think I realised the majesty of what I was watching at the time.
See, now I grew up a lot closer to Wales than you did. So,
fine, okay.
You know, there was a lot more pervasiveness of this sort of thing. So I think I did watch Fireman Sam. It was talked about, I think, at school and things. One of those things that I remember people talking about, and like us as kids, people watched Fireman Sam.
Talking about at school.
Yeah.
It really gripped you then. See, the only things I can really remember discussing at school are very, very, you know, like storyline things like the Demon Headmaster,
yeah,
and Are You Afraid of the Dark? These were things we discussed at school. What sort of a chat would you have had about Fireman Sam?
I mean, I think it was a primary school chat, so it wasn't like a water cooler standing
around. So were mine.
Discuss the nuances and the ennui of Fireman Sam. I think it was much more around, do you watch Fireman Sam? Yes, some kids over there are playing Fireman Sam. You know, I think that's what it was.
Sorry, I still can't imagine the conversation. Did you watch Fireman Sam? Yes. Wasn't it good that he found that kite? Yes. Let's play.
I think that's probably it. That was probably the extent of the conversation, but sounding less like Top Gear presenters when we did it.
I don't know. I know nothing about boys. I went to a girls' school. I don't know what chats you had.
Well, those were the kind of chats we had. They're very very matter of fact.
Actually, there were boys at my primary school, and I remember the thing that we all talked about all the time, mm-hmm, which we haven't done on the podcast. Isn't technically a kids' show, but it's like... We watched Robot Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And we all used to talk about Robot Wars. I still remember coming in and everyone going, I can't believe it went to a judge's decision. The judges were wrong. We were outraged. Yes. Outraged, incensed.
I remember me and John East, that I went to school with, we had a plan to build a robot and enter Robot Wars, but had no skills. No idea of where we would begin to build a robot. So it never went anywhere. I think we started with like a cardboard box and some garden cane to make like a prototype design.
Yes.
And then it just didn't go anywhere after that.
That was it. As far as you got.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be honest, I think what you needed for one of those was like a dad or an uncle who was secretly an engineer and, you know. That's how that happened.
There was a team that were like engineering degree students from like Brunel or somewhere that turned up, and they were hated every year because they basically got their entire department budget to pay for it.
Well, I would hate them.
Yeah.
If I was making it in my garage.
Mm-hmm. This is it. I remember there was like a father and son team. Theirs was just like a remote control car inside a giant ball. In like a hamster ball they've made of chicken wire and papier-mâché. And it's going up against this thing which is made of like titanium carbide and has a Gatling gun on the top of it.
Well, that's why they had to stop doing it.
Yeah, that's it.
Just miniature tanks at some stage.
So.
Can we get back to... That's far too exciting, Robot Wars, Gatling guns. That's far too exciting. Can we get back to the relative safety of Pontypandy?
Yes, we absolutely can. So, Fireman Sam, Series 1, Episode 1. 1987.
So this is as old as me.
This is as old as you and slightly younger than me. Don't know why I need to say that.
Slightly younger than, yes, okay.
Yeah.
You could have just left it as the year of my birth, but you had to add all that guff.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the opening titles?
Oh, I tell you what, there's a playfulness I'd forgotten that Sam has, because the first thing we see is he gets up and he slides backwards down a banister.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought, that's just his, like... natural fireman-ness coming. If he sees something he can slide down, he's going to slide down it.
Exactly that. Yeah. I was always afraid of the fireman's pole.
Sorry.
No one would be surprised to hear that. I'm afraid of everything. But I was always afraid of that. We had a playground that had a pole.
Right.
That you could slide down.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't do it.
No?
No. And now I think about it, I was literally like, you know, 5 feet off the ground. I was like, it was just a head height for an average person. But I wouldn't slide down the pole.
Where did that fear come from? Like, did you see someone fall off it or?
No. This is the thing, right? When you are physically inept, you don't have to have seen something done badly to know that you will not be able to do it the way the other children do it,
mm-hmm.
which is why I have a fear of everything, because the fear is not of those individual things. The fear is of me doing those things. The fear is of what I can accomplish with my level of ineptitude.
I know what you mean, because my primary school, in the school hall, we had one of those fold-out wooden, like...
Wooden gym. We had it too.
Wooden gym. And there was a rope on ours, and terrified of any possibility of climbing the rope. No, I wasn't going to do that, because I couldn't have done it. No way I could have got up there. Didn't have any upper body strength, still don't. Can't climb a rope. But also, there were people who regularly fell off the top of it and, like, broke their collarbones and things.
Really?
Yeah.
Your school wasn't very careful then, was it?
It was not. It was not a careful school. It was.
I do remember my friend Hazel went all the way to the top of the rope.
Mm.
I think probably the boys had told her that she wouldn't be able to do it, and so she had something to prove. Got up there and had, like, got the fear and then couldn't get down. She was, like, clutching onto... She could reach, like, the wooden bit at the side of the rope. And she just clutched onto it and she would not come down because she just got the, like, you know, the fear just hit her. Right at the top. The whole class at the bottom, like, trying to talk her down out of it.
How did you get her down in the end?
I don't know. I think one of the teachers went up and sort of, not up the rope, they climbed up the, you know.
Yeah, they found the easy way.
Found the easy way and sort of, like, coached her down. But it was a big event to go over that PE lesson. But anyway, Sam has no fear of the pole. He loves it. He'll slide down anything he can find.
Oh, yes. So he's straight down. He's got like a Wallace and Gromit style like arm that comes out the wall and gives him a cup of tea as well.
I definitely felt the Wallace and Gromit style of that. Like, yeah. Obviously, we're pre Wallace and Gromit.
We are.
Pre-WAG.
Pre-WAG. We're pre-WAG.
Pre-WAG. It's 1987. And, yeah, the trousers come out of the... One of those, not a spring.
Yeah, they come
the
out.
Double helix. What is it called? I don't know. Is there a name for it?
It's like
the metal.
Yeah,
the metal
the extendo, like concertina.
Concertina.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. You know the thing.
I know the thing. Yeah.
If you have one of those, you're an inventor. We've spoken before about what I think an inventor is, and if you have one of those, you're an inventor.
Yes, that was definitely.
If you have a patent,
inventor.
I don't give a shit.
But this is all important because, as the song tells us, he can get ready in 7 seconds flat.
Can he?
Yes, which is handy because he commutes via the fire engine.
Yeah,
the fire engine's not at the place. It's coming. They drive it round to pick each other up.
I like this opening sequence. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of action in it.
There is.
Relative to other things that we've seen. But I don't think it's the catchiest theme tune in the world.
No.
It's like... Can't remember the words. He's always da da da.
And his engine's bright and clean.
And his engine's bright and clean.
Yep.
You do 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 do. Sam
is the hero next door.
Yeah.
That's it. He's the hero next door.
Is it like being the girl next door?
I think it is probably like being the girl next door.
But he's the hero next
door. Yeah, that's it. They all...
Men can't just be the boy next door. They've got to be the hero next door.
They all want to get saved by him, but... Oh,
I don't want to get saved by Sam.
No.
I really want to get saved by Elvis.
Yeah. Elvis is much better.
Oh, Elvis is the cool one. Elvis is the sex. Right? I'm serious. As soon as I saw Elvis, I was like, oh, I remember you.
Hello. He's back again.
Like, I don't know at what age you start to, like, decide what you fancy, right? I don't know at what age that happens. I don't know. But, like, something about his dark hair and the fact that it comes onto his face. And, you know, in time, this would grow to be my predilection for beards. But the mutton chops were enough to do it for me. I just like him. And he's quirky. He's much more fun than Sam.
Oh, he is. He's got some brilliant lines as well in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's, because it's a windy day, so...
That's the
premise of this episode.
The premise.
Is it's a very windy day, and a telephone line falls down, and when the fire crew get out there to inspect it, the station officer goes, right, we've got an emergency, there's trouble here. And Elvis goes, trouble? It's not on fire. Which I thought, brilliant. He's got his JD.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm a fireman, this isn't my job description. I'm not getting involved, mate. If there's no fire, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I'll be clocking off, old governor.
He also, the chief gives him an order, and he says to him, yeah, go, man, go. And the chief's like, what? Oh, sorry, I mean, yes, you know, Roger.
He's brilliant, Elvis.
Oh, he's fantastic. Oh, my God. I would watch this whole show just for Elvis.
There should be an Elvis spin-off. That's what there should be. Like a spin-off of just, like you know, when they do the spin-offs of like, Morse. You know, Elvis goes off and starts his own, like, fire station business somewhere else.
Do you think that in his spare time, Elvis is in a band?
Definitely.
I do, 100%.
I think
Elvis, his real name, is it a nickname because other people see the quiff and think Elvis, or does he choose it as a moniker because he's such a big Elvis fan? These are the questions that need answering. I desperately need to know.
I think Elvis is not his real name, no. But I think, like any man who's nicknamed Spud or Spike,
yeah,
no one knows his actual real name. 100%. Everyone just calls him Elvis.
Yeah.
So he might as well just be Elvis. I think he's definitely in a band. I'm sure he thinks that the band is his main vocation.
Yes.
And he's just doing the firefighting on the side, yep, to pay the bills.
100%.
Yeah. Like 100%. Neil Buchanan, you know. The music's the original passion. The thing he puts on the red uniform for is just to pay the bills.
It's a blue uniform.
It's a blue uniform.
What... sort of music does he play?
Prog. I think he plays...
No! How dare you! How dare you! Oh! Oh! Now, how dare you?
Okay, what...
I would never fancy someone who was into prog.
I mean, Liz, it's the 80s and he's got mutton chops. There's a decent chance he's into prog.
I don't want to believe that.
Okay, what music do you think he's making?
I want to believe it's like a rockabilly revival type.
Yeah,
that's what,
okay,
I want to believe.
All right, I'll go with that. That does seem much more believable.
I can't prog. That's wounded me. We were so on the same page until that.
See, now I wonder what, like, his private vehicle is, what he drives the rest of the time. Because I can imagine everyone else in this quaint little Welsh mountain town is driving around in little, like, Hillman Imps and little Morris Miners and things like that. But he's got, like, either a pickup truck with bullhorns on the front or, or like, a pink Cadillac from that old, like, Direct Line advert back in the day.
No, he's got a beat-up old car that his mum gave him because all the money just goes straight into the music, man.
And he calls it the Beast. Come on, lads, we'll all tool up in the Beast. We've got a gig in Rill tonight. We're opening for a roller disco.
Now, listen.
Yeah.
We've got a ton of backstory for Elvis that is unsupported, okay? But how do you feel about Sam? I don't feel he's as filled out as a character.
I don't know. It feels like Sam is much more a vehicle for all these other characters. Because, you know, you've got Elvis, you've got Steele, the station officer we've talked about a little bit, who's got the moustache and is a bit bumbling and a bit...
So, the station officer has this huge grey moustache and he's got an English accent because he's very officious and sort of what? He looks exactly to me like Windsor Davis.
Yes, I thought of Windsor Davis as well.
Again, this is references out of our time.
Bang up to date. bang out a name for this podcast, a reference to Windsor Davis. But he looks like Windsor Davis, but with the height of Don Estelle. That's the...
Made it worse. people are like following on. They're like, oh yeah, no, I know Windsor Davis. I know. Oh no, wait.
This has gone deep.
I have no idea. Yes.
But no, but Sam does just feel a bit like lacking in terms of.
I hadn't even remembered really what he looked like. Like, other than they all have those kind of, you know, archway eyes.
Mm.
I didn't remember he had like reddish hair. Didn't remember anything about him.
No,
very blank as a character.
He is very blank as a character. He's not. There's a lot more focus. I think he is almost like a way to showcase the other people in this town.
Which is why I think I was almost concerned when one of the first things he does in this episode is he says, "Oh, I'll ring Sarah and James and see if they want to go to the park." Now, these are two children who he's referring to by their first names. Mm-hmm. He knows them. But it wasn't immediately clear what his relationship was to them.
No, that made me uncomfortable too.
Good, okay.
It's only when later on when they're talking about Uncle Sam, like, oh, okay, fine. He's their uncle.
I hope he's an official uncle. And he didn't give himself that name.
You call me Uncle Sam.
Call me Uncle Sam. Don't worry, I work for the fire service.
It's all above board.
Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't immediately love that. I was like, oh, he's one of those people who doesn't have any friends his own age, so he just hangs out with children. I don't like that.
No, that's not okay.
But luckily, the phone is dead, so he doesn't get to groom any children this episode. No, I think he's definitely their uncle, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is. A real uncle.
Yeah, he's their real uncle.
There have been no accusations. You know, it's been many years since.
there's another character I'd like to talk about.
Yes.
Sam goes to put his lunch order in with the proprietor of the local restaurant.
Yeah.
Bella. I don't know if they said Bella's last name, but I have it written down. Do you want to hazard a guess?
The place that she owns is called like Ridoni's or something. Is that her surname?
It is not her surname.
Okay.
Her full name is Bella Lasagna.
Oh God, I have heard that before. Bella, yes, they change it for the updated one, don't they?
Well, they kind of delete her as a character for the longest time.
Oh.
And then bring her back eventually, but
I was gonna say that is a shame because she is a style icon. I immediately loved her. Obviously she's a stereotype. But she has all this curly black hair, epic cat eye glasses, big, big jewellery. She's everything I want to be. So when I look at her, I feel the same way as I do when I look at Sue Pollard. I think, I love this for you. I haven't got the energy. But if someone was to buy me all the stuff, I would dress like this all the time.
She is a fantastic character. She runs an Italian restaurant in this tiny little Welsh town. Sam goes in to place his lunch order for cheese and chutney sandwiches.
Bit rude, isn't it?
It is a bit rude.
Going into an Italian restaurant ordering cheese and chutney sandwiches.
Yeah, that is frankly outrageously rude. But she tells him, I got her no bread, Mamma Mia.
Yeah, it was kind of fair enough. They took her out, wasn't it?
Yes.
I got her no bread.
I call her the baker, Mamma Mia. The phone is dead.
Yes, that's what she says. That's her contribution to this episode. Apart from looking awesome.
Yes. So this is kind of setting up the thing so the phones are dead. So you've got Trevor Evans driving the bus. He's picked up Sam.
He also has some lovely grey moustache, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But much more, dignified sort of length.
Yes.
His is much more in keeping with the size of his face.
Absolutely.
The station control has gone too big, if anything, with the tash.
It undermines his authority with it being too big. He's made the classic mistake of thinking, bigger moustache, bigger position in society.
Classic mistake.
It is a classic. There's a finite limit to the amount, the point at which your moustache stops becoming a way to reinforce your authority and starts distracting from your face.
Like those people in those beard competitions.
Yes.
There's a point at which it just becomes ludicrous.
Yeah, that's it. And the only thing you're looking at is the moustache.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you're saying, then you could be addressing the UN. You could be having a plan to save the world from, like, a meteor strike, and people just be sitting there looking at you going, that is a really big moustache.
Do you know what? I don't know why it just reminded me of one time when I went to get my hair cut at a hairdresser's, and she said to me, it's good to get your hair cut sometimes because otherwise you can look like you're all hair.
Like your cousin it.
Yes, that's basically what she's accusing me of.
Oh my God.
I don't go to the hairdressers anymore.
No, with service like that, I don't blame you.
Do it myself in the bathroom. Yeah, that's what she said. And I think it's put me off having long hair for the, like, ever since. Oh, dear.
That's horrendous. I tell you, one person whose hair we don't get to see, though, on this.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
Segue is Dilys Price.
Right.
Because Dilys and Norman Price.
These are our other, you know.
Yeah, they're mainstays throughout this thing. So you've got Dilys, who runs, like, the corner shop, and Norman is her son, and Norman's a troublemaker.
He's a troublemaker. She has got her, as you say, her hair up in the net. As a look I haven't seen outside Last of the Summer Wine for, you know, many years. I think she tries to, like, not, what do you call it, mollycoddle,
yeah,
Norman, whereas everyone else sees him a little bit more for the brat,
yeah,
that he is, because he is causing trouble. He's on a skateboard. He doesn't want to go out, refuses to go out, but she makes him.
Mm.
And then he's out on his skateboard, causing trouble, knocks down Trevor Evans.
Yes, he's chasing a kite. Because this is the other thing. Trevor has stopped his bus route at the park.
Yeah.
So that he can show Sarah and James how to fly a kite. They say, we know how to fly a kite, and we can fly a kite. And he goes, oh, not as well as me, my sugar lumps. Which is in itself wildly inappropriate, I think, to say to two children you're not related to.
I thought it was lovely. I think it's so funny. It's just that sweetness that they have, though, of there aren't that many people in Pontypandy. So, yes, it's terrible weather for going out, so most people aren't. The bus isn't busy, so he just goes to fly a kite with some kids.
Yep.
That's what I'd do if I was a bus driver. I'd just knock it off. I'll just go to the park with these kids. We know how to fly the kite. Yeah, yeah. I'll show you.
Imagine it now. Welcome aboard the number 2. He's roasting today, so I'm just thinking we'll go down the seaside for an ice cream, yeah?
Yeah.
Everyone game? All right. Ring the bell twice if you are. There we go.
I was actually going to a hospital appointment. All right, pipe down in the back.
Please don't address the driver while he's working.
I think it's a much better system of doing things.
Just get on and be at the whim of your driver.
Yeah,
wherever,
yeah,
they want to go.
Yeah, yeah. Who cares? I have a problem with the flying of kites.
Okay.
Right? Whenever it comes up in media, in that I don't believe it's possible.
You've never flown a kite?
I had multiple kites as a kid, right? And we lived in the countryside, and we lived next to an area of sort of like open greenery,
mm,
and it had a slope to it, and it seemed like on a windy day it would be perfect kite flying weather. I never got a kite in the air. Oh, damn. No, it's me, isn't it? No, I did say it's always me. That's the common denominator. Okay, flying kites is possible.
It is possible. I've done it myself. It is possible to fly a kite.
I just always wanted to fly a kite.
I mean, I really don't know what your technique was. We're definitely going to go and fly a kite after this, you know.
Well, my technique was that whichever adult was with me,
mm-hmm,
would say, take the kite, and you have to, they'd have the string, the end of the string.
Yeah.
You have to run and with it above your head to get it in the air. So I would run back and forth like a maniac, and nothing would happen.
Oh, no, because you can't, you've got to run and then throw it.
Well, yeah, I'd do that. I'd do all that. They'd say, oh, no, throw it, run a bit farther and then throw it. And they'd do that. They'd direct me, and I'd keep doing it, and it would not happen.
I mean,
never happen.
It's not like an infallible thing. I understand that.
But after hours, you'd think it'd get airborne at least once. I'm talking about multiple days we tried this, and on the beach where it was, you know, we would try over and over. I remember three kites that I had. One had an owl on it, one was red, and one was all multicoloured. None of them got airborne. I think somebody bought me a replacement for the owl because they're like, oh, it's the kite. But it wasn't the kite. It was me. They're like, it must have a hole in it that we can't see. We'll get you another kite. Maybe they thought I would give up. I didn't. I was too much of a fan of Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Never got a kite in the end.
All right. This is now like a goal of mine, is to get you and I to go out and fly a kite. Next windy day, we're going out. We're going kite flying.
Okay.
Yeah. It's happening. It's happening.
I would love to. I would love to fly a kite. I just, unfortunately, I've been burnt before. And I no longer believe it to be possible.
Imagine you just there in a darkened room. At least it's windy. You want to go kite flying? Yeah, I've tried flying kites before. Never going to happen. I learned the hard way, son.
I don't know how you get inside my head. I don't know how you do it.
Just like that. We're just like that. That's all it is. We're just like that. Anyway, but the kite that Sarah and James have got, Trevor's snapped the string from it. It's flown off. Norman's come around the corner. He crashes into Trevor. So Trevor's now hurt and the kite's stuck up on a roof.
Don't you just hate it when that happens?
Oh, awful. Awful. Fortunately, the fire brigade have got no fires to put out.
Yeah.
And they fixed that telegraph pole. Well, they haven't. They moved it to the side of the road.
Yeah, they repeatedly say, oh, we'll have to leave that for the telegraph company. Like, okay, nobody was criticising you. Like, they must be like, oh, we're going to be getting phone calls, people saying you didn't fix that properly. We've left it for the telegraph company.
Oh, yes, God, they've got to fix that. That's their job. All we do is move it slightly.
We move it out of danger.
Yeah.
I don't know if our Welsh accents are up to this, to be honest.
No, probably not. Apologies to anyone from Wales. We'll add that to the long list of people we've offended in the course of this podcast.
Yeah, well, I absolutely... The whole episode is voiced by John Alderton.
Mm.
And, you know, speaking of people who'd be on my our list of five, I absolutely adore John Alderton. Do you really know who he is?
No, I don't.
Okay, he's an actor. Right, we're going back in time now. When I was a kid, I used to watch a show called Please, Sir, which is one of those things that's probably not allowed on television anymore. Let's not dig into it. But he is absolutely adorable in it. Like, he's the teacher.
Right.
And he has all these students. And it's just class. It's just a class every time. I'm sure it's full of terrible jokes that would make me absolutely die with how offensive they are now. But he is just the most beautiful thing. He's lovely. And, yeah, I think he's great. He's also in Zardos.
Okay.
That's my other reference for John Alderton. Right. What a glittering career. he just seems like a lovely man.
Mm.
So I just think his voice is perfect for this. Because it's done in that style that they have a lot, where he's like a narrator who does a bit of a voice for each of the characters. He doesn't go fully into a different voice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They'd have that style for Post and Pat and Thomas Tank, I think. And,
yeah.
You know, all those sorts of things. But yeah, I love his, like, lilting Welsh tones. His eyes, beautiful. But yeah, I think he's a favourite of mine when I was watching Please, Sir. Because this is the thing, when I was a kid, I used to watch kids' shows, but the other thing I used to watch is reruns of very old programmes that my dad liked. And it's really screwed my head up. I think a lot of my problems have come from that.
Because that sings like The Sweeney, The Professionals.
Well, we said before about all the kind of like cop shows, all that kind of thing. But this was just a sitcom. And, you know, it's like me watching The Rag Trade and The Liver Birds. And like, why was I watching all this stuff? Like, and Bread. What was it doing to my brain that I watched all these things?
See, my dad really liked The Likely Lads and whatever happened to The Likely Lads. But he didn't like sit us all down and say, right, as a family, we're watching this now.
Now, this is interesting. I think other people were aware of free will at an earlier stage in their lives, because I just assumed that if my dad put it on the television that I had to sit down and watch it. I didn't, like, get distracted and go off and play with my toys. I was just watching all this stuff, taking it in, taking it all in. What is wrong with me?
Mum, why does that man have a shooter?
Do you know that I asked my parents, I sat them down and said both of them, I need to know what a pimp is, because I can't understand the Sweeney. They're always going on about pimps. And my mum just gets up from the table and goes, you let her watch those programmes.
Amazing. Amazing. How old were you?
Probably about 13. 12 or 13. Okay. 13 sounds so much better than 12, which it was does. The first age that popped into my head.
Mother, father, what is a pimp?
I just hadn't heard that term. I think I knew what a prostitute was. Mm. You know, I was familiar with that. I'd watched enough Sweeney for that. I just couldn't understand the whole pimp concept.
Back to Fireman Sam.
Yeah, can we talk a bit more about how much I hate Norman?
Yeah.
Like, I really hate him. The only reason I'm hanging back on really dissing Norman mm-hmm. is because of the second episode we watched.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned yet that the second episode is from 2014.
Yes.
So it's a hell of a different show. But Norman, we have to wait and talk about what he is in that second show. Because by contrast, he's just a bit of a naughty kid in this, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's a little bit irritating, bit of a naughty kid, but yeah.
In the second episode, he's one of the most... He's the biggest abomination I've seen on screen.
Oh, there is a multitude of horrors to come.
Yeah. So anyway, he's just a bit of a brat in yeah. this.
But in this one, so they finally come... Things come to a head with the kite, which is caught up on Dillis Price's roof. So they get the ladder out. Sam's up there. Everyone's going, be careful, don't fall. Sam obviously nearly falls off the roof, but manages to get the kite back. And everything's all fine.
That's the point at which the kids come along.
Yes.
And get Sam because of the instance that's happened with Trevor Evans, who's hurt. And so they go along to help him, mm-hmm. having been knocked down by Norman. The kids get their kite backs, that's all good.
Yeah.
And this pompous chief is bandaging Trevor Evans up. That'll help, that'll soon heal. And Trevor Evans says... I'm not surprised. It's the other arm that hurts.
It's a great little joke. Great little joke.
Enjoyed it.
Yep.
Enjoyed it.
Classic. Yeah. Classic little joke. And that pretty much wraps up that episode.
I guess they ran out of budget at that stage because the opening is like Wallace and Gromit. The ending is just one still image.
Yeah.
That's all they could afford.
That's it.
They're like, did you do the end credits with the budget that we gave? Oh, no, we forgot. Oh, well, just stick up a still. Doesn't matter.
Well, these early series are all done with stop motion. So, and there's a lot in there.
You don't say.
So, but I was reading, because of the amount of detail and everything else, it took them hours, days to make even like a minute of this show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a very labor intensive process to produce. You know, but you're not just going to repeat the.
Absolutely worth it.
Oh, completely.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love everything about it. I love the look of it. I maybe slightly prefer the look of the people in Postman Pat.
Yeah.
I'll say that because these ones, I think, their eyes look a bit pasted on.
Yes, they're a flat face and then they just stuck the features on. But yeah, whereas like you say, Postman Pat, there's much more of a defined face shape.
Much more of a defined face shape, and I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but mostly, you know, those hours, those painstaking hours that they put into the animation of this were well worth it because they created a classic children's cartoon.
Yep. With you 100%.
In stark contrast is the episode from 2014, which I know that's nearly 10 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
but it's become a digital animation and it looks like, well, in those 10 years, we've come quite a long way, haven't we? What does it look like?
It looks pretty diabolical. It looks like the knockoff Disney films you find...
That's what it looks like, yeah.
It looks like, you know, like when they do like the, oh, little martial arts panda and,
yes.
You know.
When I worked in a DVD retailer. we're not on the BBC. I can just say I worked at HMV. Anyway, when I worked there...
The thing is either HMV or Zavvi, or maybe FOP.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's one of the three.
Remember FOP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody... There used to be a company that would release films that had already been made, but retitle them as the same name as a Disney or Pixar or whatever film in order to try and confuse customers. So they genuinely released Cars 2 without ever having made a Cars 1. It was just they had a movie about cars and they called it Cars 2 when Cars 2 wasn't out yet. And people used to bring it up and we had to actually say to them, you know that this isn't the real Cars 2, don't you? And they were like, why is it called that then? It's like, why are you such a fucking idiot that you couldn't tell from the look of the box? The box is so shonky. It looks like I made it on my home printer. Look at it with your eyeballs.
They misspelt film.
It was pretty much at that level. Yeah, but it would be like Cars 2 and then in brackets it would be, you know, like also known as A Honda's Journey or whatever. Like, come on, guys. It doesn't say Disney, it doesn't say Pixar. Just look at the box. Look at the box. Also, it's $2.99.
I recognise quality Disney animation wherever I find it.
Honestly. Anyway, that's pretty much what this looks like.
Yeah.
It is appalling.
It is terrible. So basically what we've had, you have the original run of Fireman Sam, which is from 1987 till about 1994,
mm-hmm.
at which point the BBC don't license it anymore. It goes to Channel 5 and production goes on hold from 2003 to 2022 is the current run. So there's a series which is still...
Really long.
Yeah, it's still on now. And it's being done, I think it's now done by a different animation studio, but it is still this same CGI kind of look.
Is it slightly better?
I wouldn't like to guess.
Okay.
The little bits I've seen suggest not that much.
Right. Well, I think it's horrid.
Yeah.
Really horrid. But we'll come on to the biggest crime, but how did you choose this particular episode?
Well, I think, Liz, you know, I
know how, because I've seen it.
I think
tell the viewers what episode it was.
This was the Great Cheese Rolling Games. Now, I chose this because, you know, it's a little bit of a personal connection for me, obviously being from Gloucester, the home of cheese rolling. I thought,
and you lived very close to the...
Very close to Cooper's Hill, where they roll the cheeses.
The proper hill. Yep. The proper hill where they do the original cheese rolling.
I mean, I say hill, it is pretty much a cliff. It's very, very steep. People do break limbs every time they do it.
I'm always surprised when I see footage of it, mm-hmm. because the way they describe the event to you is that people chase or run after the cheese. People fall to their deaths after the cheese.
Yeah.
People are throwing themselves down. People take two steps and then tumble like puppets with their strings cut.
The footage is always shot from the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get this sense of people, like, falling, but you don't get a sense of how steep the hill is. And I know there's at least one, like, short film or someone did about it, and they took the view from the top of the hill, and it is terrifying. It's like looking down a ski slope.
Have you been up there?
I've been up there once a long time ago when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But it is terrifyingly steep. It is, like, I wasn't there for the cheese rolling. I think we went there a different time. But it literally, it is like, you know when you get those things where they stand at the top of, like, the ski jumping slope, the 90-meter one? It is so steep, so sheer, and it's just, oh, okay, if I go, I'm just going.
Do you know, be good at that, right? They should do that for the next opening of a Mission Impossible movie. Just get Tom Cruise up there. Like, you know, the USB's been hidden in the wheel of cheese. There we go. Go on, Ethan Hunt. Go on. Get down there after the cheese.
This year's winner is Farmer Giles. Wait, he's taking off his face. It's Ethan Hunt. That'll be it. Yeah.
He loves to do his own stunts.
Oh, he loves to.
Let him run after the cheese.
Let him go get that wheel of cheese. Yeah, so that's why I picked this one, because
it's that hometown pride, isn't it?
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. And, you know, but, oh, my God, it's even... Right, even the intro has obviously been updated, We've now gone from a sort of, you know, it feels now like the intro song now, they said, we want McFly.
Yes.
We want McFly to do the intro. We can't get them. Let's do a Disney, sorry, a Bisney version of McFly.
I was kind of impressed by how they'd updated it, because they've kept the same sort of lyrics and same sort of tune. Mm-hmm. But whoever's recorded it, they've said to him, give it everything you've got. All right, you're never going to make a hip hop record. This is your moment. He really gives it the beans. We should have a clip of it here so people don't have to look it up. But he's like, they're always going to finance him. He's giving it everything.
But you got to think, this was like 2003 they did that. And obviously by that point, Bob the Builder's got to number one twice. You know,
yeah, yeah.
So yeah, there's every chance they're thinking this could be it. This could be a Christmas number one.
This could be my moment.
I'll be on the X Factor next week singing this.
That's the high point for me of the updates to it, is the theme tune.
Yeah.
Because although I like the original, what they've done to it is its own, you know, thing. That didn't detract from it. Everything else they've done, appalling.
You didn't like the upgrades to his kit?
I don't want to see him with a drone. I don't care to see Fireman Sam with a drone.
He's not just a drone, though. It's a heat-seeking drone.
Hated it. Hated it. Because I just... I like things that are naff and bad. And I like things that are sort of like... They don't have the latest technology. They have to make do. I don't want to see him with all the bloody kit... And flying a drone to check whether the sausage rolls are done. I don't want that.
No.
It's not what I want.
No, the intro sort of gave me a little bit of hope, because obviously we've seen other things like Noddy and Postman Pat, where they've updated it for like the modern era and things are a better place. But this, you think, okay, he's, you know, you've actually given him things like breathing apparatus when he goes to get a fire. Makes perfect sense.
That does. That did make sense to me.
Having a quad bike. He's in the Welsh mountains. Makes perfect sense. On board with these things. I'm fine with those. Mm. Yeah. A drone that with heat-seeking technology seems a little bit like the fire service budget could probably do with a bit of trimming. If all they're using that for is just checking on their sausage rolls.
Just to be clear, I don't have a problem with real firemen having drones that have heat-seeking technology.
Agreed.
If that exists and that's useful to them, I don't have a problem. I don't want to trim their budget.
No.
I'm not in charge of such things. I don't have a problem with them having the proper kit. But for a kids' TV show, it's like... This should be focused on the story, but it's just showing off all these gadgets that he's got. And I got that same vibe of Noddy with his special delivery service or whatever it was, where it's like he doesn't need, you know, like a stealth boat to deliver a few parcels around the village. And I think it's this thing that a lot of the kids' shows that we're looking at used to sort of champion the ordinary, you know, like... They were about ordinary life, and kids could watch it and see ordinary life. But now that's not special enough. Everything's got to be the most epic, the most like awesome, up to date, new thing that you've never seen anywhere. Well, kids haven't seen anything anywhere. You haven't shown it to them yet. They're new. I like some normality.
Yeah.
And the average fireman, I just imagine spends a lot more time doing things like going out in the truck than checking on his sausage rolls with heat-seeking technology.
I mean, if you are a fireman and you have got a heat-seeking drone that you use to checking sausage rolls, get in touch and tell us. I can't promise you won't be scathing of that use of it technology.
What? The heat-seeking drone, right? Just to be clear... It's not creating a fire, is it?
No.
So where's the fire? Well, it's fucking everywhere.
See,
where's
that
the person?
Large pillar
I don't
of smoke.
Know because the fire's really fucking hot.
Well, there could be a person there. I can't tell. Damn all these flames.
Yeah, so I've sensed a problem with our heat-seeking drone. Anyway.
I mean, let's talk about some of the other updates for this 2014. And I think there's a few criminal ones.
That is a bad update, but there is a truly criminal update. There is a crime that is unforgivable.
What is that crime, Liz?
That crime is the moronification of Elvis.
Oh, God. Someone took Elvis out and gave him a lobotomy.
Yes.
Like, this is one flew over the cuckoo's nest and he's Jack Nicholson.
He is. It's just not Elvis anymore, is he?
No.
He's not there. He's not in there. It is awful. His first line is, literally, it sounds like that. It's so bad. Poor Elvis, what did they do to you, sir? Oh, God. Maybe he just did too many drugs.
Maybe.
Just did all the smack and the brains are all gone.
Do you think the band is still together?
No, mate, that's probably what prompted his descent.
That's probably what prompted his descent. Wow. But it's all right, he's still got his job. And he's still got an ability to make sausage. He's got radar. He's got Radar the dog to look after.
He's got a dog now. He's got a Dalmatian.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Was there original use for firemen? Have I made that up?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
There's something about Dalmatians and firemen. You know when you know a fact, but you don't know it well enough?
The way you said, with Dalmatians, was there original use for firemen? Like, yes, we use Dalmatians because they're excellent for carrying hoses. We tried it with a Norfolk Terrier. It did not work.
His squat little legs, he just couldn't keep up. No, I don't.
And German Shepherds always trying to hog the glory, running in and saving people. Yeah. Dalmatian, that's a faithful fire dog.
I just feel like they are associated with firemen for some reason.
Okay.
Do they run along with the fire engines?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
They're very recognisable. So, like, instead of a siren.
So, like, an early warning is like, there's a fire at the mill. Do you see the fire brigade? No, but a Dalmatian came charging past.
There's something in that.
Yeah.
I'm sure I haven't dreamt this. Is it ringing any bells for you?
It's bringing no bells for me whatsoever.
Wow.
I'm trying to think of dogs with occupations, and I'm thinking, right, they use St. Bernard's in the mountains because they carried a little cask of brandy underneath on their collars.
Yeah.
And they use other dogs for ferreting. That's the only two things I've got, is mountain rescue and ferreting.
Truffling,
yes, but they use pigs for truffling as well, don't they?
Yes. Ratting.
Ratting. Well, I'd class that along with ferreting.
Gun dogs.
Yeah, gun dogs. Okay. Yeah.
Big mouths.
But I feel those aren't like specific. That's not a specific breed of dog. That's like
Okay. That's a whole type. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole class of dogs there. I just can't think of any other specific dog with an occupation. Like, no one's ever said to me, your Portuguese otterhound, that's your lawyer dog. Always carries a brief, you know, that's...
Newfoundlands do water rescue.
Right, okay, so that's another job I wasn't aware of. Dalmatians are firemen.
They are the firemen.
Maybe they are. Maybe that's what it is, that actually Dalmatians are really good at putting out fires. I feel like you could add that onto like a Wikipedia page and people would be like, is that true? I don't think
that they put out the fires. Right. I think they run along with the firemen.
Okay. And provide moral support?
Yes, probably. Okay. I don't know what a Dalmatian's chief skill is.
Well, in this one, it's sniffing out sausage rolls and eating them.
Oh, yes, that's what Radar does.
Yeah, he eats two batches of sausage rolls, which...
I really felt hungry for sausage rolls after that.
I did too.
They were the best looking thing in the episode. Everything else is horrific to look at.
Yes.
You know, Elvis just looks so bland compared to old Elvis. New Sam has a giant meaty face.
He has got a giant meaty face.
Big meaty head.
He looks like the bloke from who was the butcher in Coronation Street for all those years. Fred Riley?
Is
that his name?
I don't know. I've never heard the name Fred Riley in my life.
It was Fred Riley, yeah. It was definitely...
Do you mean Curly?
No, not Curly. The other one.
Who are you... Oh, John Savidan.
Yeah, John Savidan.
Is that who you mean?
Maybe. Did he go by Fred Riley?
I've never heard the name Fred Riley.
Maybe it wasn't Fred Riley. Maybe it was Ted. Ted Bovis was in Heidi High.
Oh, God.
Another bang-up-to-date reference for this podcast.
References are outrageous.
That's the chap.
Fred Elliott.
Fred Elliott. Okay, I got it half right. And I guess Elliot contains some of the letters of Riley, so I'll claim victory.
Those unusual letters of E, I, and L. Hardly get those in any names.
Yeah, Fred Elliot then. Yeah, he's got the meaty face of Fred Elliot. As Fireman Sam, that's who we were talking about before.
I think you're getting that wrong. Right, John Savardin.
Yes.
Is just a fat man. Right? But the character of Sam is not fat. He's just got a meaty head. Okay?
Okay.
There's a difference. I'm just going to say to you, right, I'm just going to say to you, he's got a big, big face. Like someone you know.
Yes.
Who has got a big, big face. Just saying that. That's all I'm saying. It's not the rest of him. He's not a fat person generally.
No.
I think John Savardin is in proportion. It would be strange if a man as fat as the guy who played the butcher in Coronation Street had less face.
Oh, yeah, that would be
That would
weird.
Be strange. He'd have a pinhead. Mm. Right, he's got a normal amount of face for the rest of him.
Yeah.
Sam hasn't. Sam's got too much. Why is there so much face?
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you ask yourself when you look at Sam.
It's a very, very... big, big face. Now, we've avoided it for as long as we can, Liz. I think we need to talk about Norman.
Oh my God, Norman. So this episode really centres around Norman even more than the last one.
Hmm.
So with this cheese rolling challenge, we see the wheel of cheese being taken out and Norman wants some cheese.
That he does.
He just wants a little bit of cheese and they won't give him it.
No.
Because it's a special cheese that they're going to chase down a hill.
Yeah.
And so the episode centres around him trying to sort of come up with a scheme to get some cheese.
Yes.
So his character in the last one, he had the like spiky red hair and he was a bit of a kind of brat, didn't want to do as his mother told him, a bit spoiled as well.
Yeah.
In this, he is... an abomination.
Yeah, this is a bit of a character development for him. He goes from being just, you know, occasionally a bit of a tearaway to actively Machiavellian in nature.
And also just impossible to look at. For some reason, his lips are like all big and rubbery and grey.
Yeah.
And like stretched. And he's sort of like the most annoying voice I think I've ever heard.
He looks like... You remember in Rugrats when they do those flash forwards to when they were adults and it was like Chucky as an adult?
No. I tell you what he looks like.
Okay.
Imagine Chucky from Rugrats.
Right.
Right. But when those people do those weird things where they make it into like human form.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's been digitized.
Yeah.
The human form of a drawn character. That's what he looks like.
That is what he looks like. That's it. And it's...
He's horrible. He's just horrible. They give him like a friend who he meets up with on the bus or train or whatever to kind of discuss his Machiavellian plans to get the cheese.
Yep.
And the friend has a very shrill voice as well.
Yeah.
The scene between them is so annoying. The voices are just grating on me. I miss John Alderton so much.
This is it. The problem I have with this, I think, is the same as problems I've had with later remakes of other things. For some reason, there's this view of you have to keep adding in new characters, you have to keep adding in more people. For this, every series, more new characters get added. So by this point, by series 9, there's so many new characters. There's an Australian man who flies a helicopter. There's a Canadian guy called Moose.
Okay, I was going to ask you about this.
Yep.
Because I wanted to know whether they had collected people from around the world for the cheese rolling event or whether they were regular characters.
These are all regular characters now.
Okay, that is a bit mad.
Yeah.
Because I said it was fair enough that they got rid of Bella. Because she was a bit of a stereotype, because they'd called her Bella Lasagna. She's obviously a bit of a stereotype. But you can't then introduce two men, one wearing a jumpsuit with like the flag of Australia on, and one wearing a red jumpsuit with the flag of Canada on, who then just say things in like their accents that are kind of stereotyped of that country.
Yeah, and the Canadian one is called Moose. That's...
Also a bit out of order, isn't it? What was the Australian one called?
I think
called?
He's called like Tommy Thompson or something like that. It's like...
It should have been called something with an O on the end.
Yeah, Tomo, Damo.
Steve-O,
Bruce-O.
Jacko.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But again, he shouldn't have been.
No,
problematic.
Because don't they both just say things like, "Ah, oh, you wouldn't be able to do that in Australia," or not
wouldn't
like
be able
that
in Canada, eh? That's what it is. It's literally, it's just, we'll put them in just for the sake of it. Every series, they are adding in more and more characters and more bits of kit. So it's no longer just the fire engine. You've got the quad bike. You've got a secondary fire engine. You've got another thing there. You've got the drone. You've got the helicopter. There's a boat. There's a jet ski at one point. There's so much stuff just added in.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
It's just wild. You don't need all that. Just have little stories about a kite being lost.
Yeah. Well, Norman is forbidden from taking part in the cheese rolling because it's for adults, as cheese rolling should be.
Yes.
Too dangerous for children.
Of course, yeah. Yep. I agree. Totally
but
agree.
He has a plan, which is to hide in a bush and use a stick to direct the cheese off course.
I mean, it's not the worst plan I've ever heard.
I'm amazed that it works. Because everyone can see the cheese. They're all chasing it.
The cheese is the focus of the day.
The cheese changes direction. They don't notice that, and they chase a tyre instead.
Mm.
Which, why there's a tyre rolling down that hill, no idea.
No, I must have blinked and missed how he coordinated that so well. Because all of the kit that he had was a big stick. That's all he took with him. Yep. He didn't have the tyre. We just found that, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's just a happy coincidence.
Happy
that the tire was there. No one stopped rolling and went, "Hey, where's that cheese gone?" So Norman rolls this cheese falls off and falls down the cliff a little bit.
He is so intent on cheese that he doesn't even notice that he's climbing down a cliff face.
Yeah.
And he just wants to get that cheese so bad.
Yeah.
Again, Wallace and Gromit vibes here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I do understand. There's some food that I would chase off a cliff. Yes, but he gets the cheese and then he realises he's sort of stuck.
Hmm.
Everyone else has now realised that they've grabbed hold of a tyre and is sort of like, who's got the bloody cheese then? What's going on?
Yeah.
They call Sam and they go, do you know what? The cheese is missing and the kid is missing. This would be a perfect time to utilise your heat-seeking drone. Because, of course, it's no use to us in fires, but for mountaintop rescue, it could actually come in useful. The only problem is that Elvis has broken it.
Oh, Elvis.
he's broken it.
Elvis galumphing around.
God, it's so terrible. So they have to use radar instead, the dock. And they get
not
there.
Radar, the detection system.
No, not radar, the detection system. They use the dog. Right, they get there and they're like, okay, well, he can sniff out the cheese, okay? And... So the chief is there because he was setting off the cheese rolling competition. He goes, well, I've been holding the cheese all day. My hands really smell of it. I just really wanted to take a moment to think about like how successful you would feel if you were asked to write for a children's TV show that was, you know, mainstream, it has been on for 30 years, going to be on mainstream TV, and you're asked to write for it. And you feel so proud of the achievements you've had in your career. And then you have to write the line, well, I've been holding the cheese all day. My hands really smell of it.
I love it. It feels like a real writer's room solution of, okay, he's got lost in the mountains. We need to track him down. How? Well, should we have an item of his clothing? No, I don't think people would buy that. Well, the cheese. Obviously, they can smell the cheese. Great. And just as one of the writers about to say, well, obviously, the dog could just follow the trail of where the cheese rolled. Smell that cheese. Mm-hmm. And someone goes, no. The station commander's been holding the cheese all day. Smell his hands. They're really cheesy.
God's sake.
And they go, that's a great idea.
Smell that cheese.
Smell that cheese.
This is the thing. They already established earlier in the episode how badly the cheese smells. They're like, oh, it's a really stinky cheese. They've already established that. They could easily have said, oh, radar will easily be able to sniff out a big wheel of cheese. That's my writer's room solution. Instead, they're so funny about him, the chief, who is this pompous character, piping up to say I've been holding the cheese all day. My hands really smell of it. It's, I don't know why it's so funny to me. My hands really smell of it. Oh, God.
I think because there's an unspoken question from the crowd. Why have you been holding the cheese? We have a wheelbarrow to put it in. And then it rolls down the hill. There's no need for you to hold it.
You shouldn't have been touching that cheese.
It's been
so
established
much.
It's a weighty wheel of cheese. Why are you holding the cheese, Chief?
For God's sake.
Oh.
Anyway, so they do find the kid, Norman.
Yeah.
The abomination. Radar sniffs him out. And then Pat go. No, not Pat. It's not Postman Pat. It's not fucking Postman. It's Sam. Simon Sam. Goes for him on a helicopter. Somebody, is it Elvis in the helicopter?
No, it's the Aussie in the helicopter.
Oh, the Aussie flies the helicopter.
Yeah.
And yes, they lower the double harness.
Yes,
they really are well equipped.
Mm-hmm.
I originally thought when he said lower the double harness that it was one for the kid, one for the cheese. But it isn't.
That would have been way better.
Sam goes in one and then puts the other one round the kid.
You just get it coming up and it's the wheel of cheese and Norman's next harness going, hom. Hom, eating great lumps out of it.
Oh, God, yeah. No, and then at the end, they decide, like, who, because the race didn't get run properly, like, who's going to win the cheese? Well, it should be whoever caught the tyre, but it isn't.
No.
They give it to the dog. They're like, the dog can have it.
They go, the person who showed the greatest heroic action, and they go, oh, well, it's got to be the dog. And if I was Sam, I'd be thinking, I went down in a harness.
I'm Sam. I'm the hero next door. My name's on the fucking titles. Why is the dog getting a big wheel of cheese?
He's already eaten two trays of sausage rolls.
Yeah, dogs shouldn't have that much dairy. Can you imagine the farts? But luckily, the dog, and it is very much the dog, because he has to bark this, but he tells them, no, I want Elvis to have it, because he keeps mentioning how hungry he is. Also, I'm a dog. I shouldn't have an entire wheel of cheese. So the dog that doesn't speak and is clearly a dog in a world in which dogs are dogs.
But Elvis can understand him.
Elvis can understand very clearly signals that everyone should share the cheese.
Yes. So everyone's very happy.
And Norman doesn't have any. Says, no. I think I've had enough of cheese for one day, which seems strange because he never actually tasted the cheese.
Not at all.
Oh, dear. What an episode.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolute shite. It's so poor. The animation, I hate. I'm sorry. I really don't like it.
Well, Liz, then let's come to the questions.
All right.
The two questions we have to ask, how do you like me now? And also, did this deserve to lose to Postman Pat?
As you know, I always like to answer the second question first.
Yes.
Did it deserve to lose to Postman Pat? I think it probably did.
Okay.
I really enjoy it, but I think Postman Pat is the OG.
Right.
Isn't he? You know, he's the benchmark that we're holding Fireman Sam up to. And I'm not sure that Fireman Sam is getting all the way there.
Okay. Controversial. I'm going to disagree with you.
Interesting.
For me, yes, both the original iterations, both absolute top-notch classics. But there's little bits more I like and I prefer in Fireman Sam. I think, you know, it's little things. The theme music, I think, is a bit better. The other characters are a bit more rounded. John Alderton, I think, like you say, is doing an excellent job voicing those characters. I think, as well, it was a very little thing, but when they start and it's a windy day, you know, there's no, like, Postman Pat telling us, oh, it's a windy day. Here they've actually got these claymation trees whipping back and forth, which I really like. And I thought that's just a little attention to detail that I really, for me, just sets it above. It's marginal, but I think Fireman Sam wins out for me.
Interesting. Well, good for you. Okay. Mm. I don't disagree. I think they're very close. It's, you know, there's hardly anything in it.
Mm.
But I can see why. I can see why Postman Pat won.
Yeah.
But in terms of how do you like me now?
Mm-hmm.
I think the original Fireman Sam holds up really, really well. I'm not sure these more modern episodes are going to, because to me that episode, like 10 years old, looks shite. And going back to the older one, it was lovely. I enjoyed it. It was watchable. There were little moments that made us laugh.
Yeah.
It was funny. There was nothing that made us laugh in this modern one.
No,
not at all. It's just churned out, I feel. Well, yeah, the only thing that made us laugh was the chief holding the cheese. And that wasn't meant to make us laugh. So, yeah, I definitely think the original holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I agree. The original, I think, is absolutely solid, and people should definitely go back and watch it. The new version, the remake, the modern series, is an abomination. Should be destroyed with fire.
I'm sure kids enjoy it.
I'm sure kids do, but if there's one thing I've learned on this podcast about kids' TV, it's you can't trust children.
No.
You can't trust children's opinion, Liz. If anyone should be deciding what's good kids' TV, it's us, adults.
Exactly.
Yes.
On that note.
Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to rate, like, subscribe, follow. We are on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. So if you've got any memories of Fireman Sam, tell us what you thought of it. Tell us what you thought of this episode. Recommendations, future things we could watch. We're always keen to hear from you. We'll be back next time. Until then, thanks a lot and bye.